98 KUPD. Hold on. I'm having a malfunction here. Hang on.
He pulled his plug. Unbelievable. Now it's time for stories.
There we go. I'm back and better than ever. There you go. Bert Kreischer's here, everybody. It is the machine joins us at this very moment. Welcome back, Bert.
It's good to be with you guys now that I'm sober and I know what this show's like.
I don't like
so
it.
So serious.
Yeah, now that it's awful.
Yeah, what do you guys want to talk about? Politics? the thing going on with the thing?
Yeah, that thing.
Marriage advice?
This is how you fart on a plane.
Oh, my God.
We were talking about this earlier. This is what I do, okay? Okay. If you have gas, which happens because we were just talking about it.
No.
Because of the compression.
Cabin.
No,
yeah.
It is not why. It's because you eat pizza for like an hour before your flight and you're pigs. That's why. Compression. Brady was blaming compression for why you fart on a plane.
It happens.
Farting happens.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with air compression.
Planes, I think, are more gassier than the average room.
Compression. I'll go with compression.
You guys are
both. Have you ever drank out of a water bottle, then closed it, and when you land, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. This is what you do. You go up to the flight attendant and you get a. Go, hey, can I get a coffee packet? One of those pre-packed coffee packet, and then sit on that, right? And you fart into that,
and it smells like a Starbucks.
Someone's like, "Ooh, someone making coffee?
Nice
hazelnut!
Ooh, hazelnut! Ooh, is that a mocha blend?"
Because
great move
for no people other than Brady and you. The compressed air causes an inability to clench your sphincter.
You know when you get on a plane and there's 20 coffee packets from the flight before,
all on the seats.
Now I don't like this, Bert. I don't like. You came in with your shirt
off.
No, I don't like this as much. You're in an Oktoberfest cap without the feather. You have no shirt on currently.
Someone said that to me last night.
It's an Oktoberfest hat.
Is it really? It curls it up in the head.
Well, you need a little red feather out of the side and then like the lederhosen or something.
This is good coffee.
and you're in with the image, but you've dropped the beer for the month. And that's the same as when Aerosmith came out sober and still dressed up like drunk Aerosmith. I wasn't buying it.
Okay. Maybe I'll start it. I'll get skinny suits. like those European comics. Yeah. And I'll talk down to Americans.
Yes.
I'll start talking about women's.
Get a little uppity.
Something I don't know about. But I'll be like, hashtag me too. I don't even know what that stands for, but. Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah, I'm still the exact same guy. Stanhope said to me last night, he goes, there was a lot of fans at Stand Up Live, just fans. Ari was there. And
right.
I was walking around with a cigar and someone's like, the machine. I was like, the machine. And Stanhope's like, you're sober. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, the guy said it. He was like, dude, you're identical. Sober and drunk. He was like, I wouldn't drink if I were you. He goes, I drink so that I can speak to people. He was like, you know, we're doing the stand-up, Call and Sick to Work show, and he's going to be on it. And he goes, maybe I won't drink, and I'll show you what I'm like when I don't drink. And I was like, really? He goes, maybe I won't drink for the whole thing. You just see me shaking in a puddle, stuttering. And I was like, that would be interesting. Benson's on it.
Amazing. It maybe doesn't affect you, the alcohol.
It would ruin comedy.
Well, here's the problem is I was thinking last night, I was like, why do I drink? I drink for personal reasons. Like, I like to be drunk.
Right.
Like, I like it. But I'm not, there's no change in my personality. I'm just the same.
You like the feeling.
I like the feeling of being drunk. Like,
it's a great feeling.
Yeah. Oh,
really
especially
is.
On a plane, man.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
Boredom gets to me. Like, I get on a plane and I go, so you're telling me 4 more hours of just sitting here?
Yeah.
Oh, that gives me anxiety. I go, sitting here. I tried reading a book.
Oh, that's worthless.
It's just like staring at a wall, but
movies
it's got words on it.
A wall with words.
I've watched every movie there is. I watched a documentary on non-binary fluidity and sexuality. That's how bored I was.
What is that? That's those people that don't know what they are?
Yeah, well, they're born with two. I don't know. I didn't really pay attention.
They got something.
Yeah, the whole time I was like, yeah, but they're not supposed to be in mixed martial arts. That's all I could think.
What?
I was like, but you can't have a dude fight a chick. Like, you can't. I understand that's what he is now, but you can't have him, like, unleashed. And then I was like, why don't I just do that? Why don't I get into mixed martial arts at 44?
Yes.
Just like, yo, it's Bertha. And just start lighting chicks up.
And he's dominant, right? I think he.
Well, because I think, I don't know. By the way, I shouldn't even. This is sober Bert talking.
Yeah.
This is a. You know, after watching the documentary, if I was drunk, I'd just shut my mouth right now.
Right.
I'd be like, no, I don't know, man. You know what? I just want everyone to be happy.
Sober Bert has thoughts.
Sober Bert talks a lot more on stage than drunk
really?
Bert.
Really?
Yeah. Sober Bert takes chances.
Oh, really?
Sober Bert's writing David Blaine rape jokes the day it happened.
Right.
Sober Bert was all over Harvey Weinstein on stage. Like, Sober Bert is not – is on stage is – a little bit of a tightrope.
Oh, yeah.
Drunk Bert just stays in his lane.
In control.
He's like,
it's
like,
amazing.
Man. He's like, yeah. Write the joke first, then tell it.
So sober Bert has, like, he lets go of all his inhibitions. Drunk Bert has, like, parameters.
Oh, yeah.
What maybe, the
yeah,
hell's going
you,
on,
because
man?
When you drink... When you drink, you know you can get in trouble.
Yeah.
Like you, and then all someone has to know is you're drunk, and then you have no defense.
Right.
So when you drink, you stay in your lane. We were talking about not drinking on planes, not talking on planes. I don't speak on planes because I drink. One time, I was eating pills and drinking. I was sitting next to a doctor. He had a medicine bag. He's the one giving me the pills. We're partying.
Oh.
All of a sudden, yeah. I get cut off.
It's a good doctor.
Yeah, but, dude, by the plane or by the doctor?
By the steward flight attendant.
Oh, okay.
She cuts me off, and the doctor looks at me real cool, and he's like, you're talking entirely too much.
Really?
He's like, yeah, I got noise reduction headsets. I'm shouting. And that had happened. One of my first jokes I ever wrote was with Patrice O'Neill. I was flying to Scotland with Patrice, and this lady came. I'd had like 5 beers within an hour, and she was like, I think you've had too much to drink. And in the middle of it, I just put my finger on her lips and went, shh. And so I learned out of those 2 experiences, you don't say a word. And if we're going to get serious about it, you pack your own booze with you.
Yeah.
You don't let them know how much you've had.
Ah.
Like this is what we were, this is what I think creeped out Segura, Ari, and Tom. So for those of you who don't know, I haven't drank all month because my 3 friends said, let's do no booze throughout the entire month. Right. And I go, I think you're talking to me.
Sober October, October, what's it
Oxober.
Called?
October. Sober October. Sober October. Okay. And so no booze, no drugs, no nothing. And then we had to do 15 hot yogas.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's been the hardest.
The Bikram yogas.
I have 2 left.
Oh, man.
And so what happened, I was telling them about drinking on planes. And there were, because that's my biggest problem.
Right.
No questions asked.
That's your buffet for alcohol.
That is my.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting.
Did you notice, though, that was a breakthrough we just had with Brady, because he considered when you said, that's my problem, he said, that's your buffet.
That would be
clearly announcing his problem.
As it'd be so much better buffet. Than if he said, that's your little boy.
Oh, there's total trigger fit.
That's your sexual assault.
That's your passed out in a bed at a frat house.
I can't get out of Cambodia.
That's your pedophilia.
That's your homeless guy asking for change at 2 in the morning, and you know you can get rid of his body in the desert. So I started drinking on planes a long time ago, and for me, as much as I'm flying, it's just gotten out of control. It really has gotten out of control. Here's how bad it is. Every flight, by the way, this is secret time.
Oh, shh. Like, don't
so
tell
if you, me. If you work on an airlines and you see me on a plane, don't be like, Joe.
Right.
Because I'm not drinking now on planes, or I'm, at least.
As far as you know.
I usually pack 4 Tito's and sodas in my carry-on.
Right.
That is
pre-mixed?
No. 4 little baby bottles.
Of Tito's?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
If it's a long flight to New York, there's 8 in there. But if it's a flight like this, I just pack 4.
Okay.
An hour flight, I pack 4. I do that because if it's a 6 a.m. flight and they're not serving booze, I want to have 4 drinks before I get on the plane, definitely. I can't get on the plane sober.
Right.
I couldn't. If I can drink before the flight, I keep those in my bag for the middle of the flight.
Sure.
I then get on the plane. They always say, hey, can I get you something before takeoff? I go, yeah, double Tito's and soda. This is so... alcoholic, neurotic behavior, but we're good now. I'm clean. I don't have a drinking problem. I go, yeah, double Tito's and soda, but can I get the bottles? I like to mix them myself because I don't trust that they're not going to pour me the whole drink.
Right.
Sometimes they pour you one and they go, just have one. You're fine. And I go, no. I want a double. It's before takeoff. So I pour them both myself. Sometimes I'll then take one of the bottles and pocket it into my jacket. So I can.
Nice.
Yeah. Because then throughout the flight, I like to incorporate my bottles in my bag into the drinks they're bringing. So I'm in fact ordering, can I just get a single Tito's and soda, but I make myself a double? Can I get another single Tito's and soda? So I've only had 2 drinks, but I've really had 4 drinks. Because if they know what you're drinking, if you have more than 4 drinks, they'll cut you off. Yeah.
You know what blows me away is, like, if there's someone sitting next to you, it's like a bartender at happy hour.
Yeah.
You're bartending the whole time making drinks.
Oh, yeah. I've had guys go, hey, man, can I get one of those? And I was like, yeah, because I brought Jack on a flight to Australia. I was just coming back from Australia, and I had 12 of them in my bag.
At least.
Oh.
That flight's brutal.
Oh, okay, we want to talk about international flights?
Oh,
here's what you do. Here's what you do. Okay? Number one, you go into the duty store. You get a very high-end water bottle.
Okay.
Okay? Then you buy a bottle, and you go, get Tito's. It's better. Whiskey's a little better to sip on, in my opinion.
Right.
And then you go in, and you say, yeah, I'll take this. They put it in that little sealed bag, and then you go, great. You rip that open, go into the bathroom, dump that into your bottle, and then you got a little roadie for the whole flight over to Australia.
Genius.
By the way, I've done every version of this, only because I've never had a problem. I've never been a problem on a plane. I don't speak on planes.
Right.
My problem is I'm afraid of dying. So
right, you don't like being out of control on a plane. I'm
yeah, and way. I don't drink the whole thing. For me, it's knowing that it's there.
Right.
Knowing that it's there.
It will be. It's a teddy
I was
bear.
Cut off one time on a flight. By the way, cut off not aggressively. Guys, right. just like, you got a lot. We should slow down. And I pulled him aside. I was flying to South Africa. This was 11 years ago. I was like, here's the deal, buddy.
You pulled him aside.
I go, hey, man. He was a small Indian dude.
Right.
I don't like flying. We need to figure out a program where I don't start panicking.
Right.
I go, here are our options. You can bring me a beer an hour for the rest of the flight, or I can dip into my Xanax and we will have a mess on our hands. And the guy looked at me and he goes, how about a beer an hour? I go, we're good. And he goes, start in an hour. I go, start right now.
Yeah.
Beginning. Yeah. And so it was very, it was actually super relaxing as yeah. I would look at the beer and look at my watch and I just sip it. And I'd sip it, and I get to 30 minutes. I went, all right, we're good. So I'd have a beer, and I go, all right. And then he'd come back, and he's like, on the hour. This is a 13-hour flight.
Yeah, brutal.
So,
and you're already a few into it when you started the
– A few?
Yeah.
By the way, this is the flight from London to South Africa. We're not even counting what I drank from L.A. to London. And we're not counting what I drank on my four-hour layover at the pub. I just know that I can't make it to South Africa sober. Now, having said that, I had my first sober flight ever, Boston to L.A. – or D.C. to L.A.
Ever?
Ever.
Really?
And I was freaked out.
Yeah, so you don't like the flying part, or you don't like the out of control part, or what is
it? I don't like not being in control. I don't like the idea that I could possibly die.
What about trains?
But you have that all the time.
I love trains, and I like drinking on trains.
But you
dude, train drinking is the best. Is the best.
Yeah. That's your old lady rape.
I see a train, and yeah. I just see, I'm like, oh, someone's a camp counselor again.
Yeah, but so you can die all the time, though.
Yeah, I know. I
so
know,
you should
yeah.
be drinking now.
Yeah.
But you never know when this, you know, especially nowadays with the whole Mandalay Bay type stuff and people just wandering and shooting up. You might as well get drunk all the time.
Too,
you never
though.
Know.
What?
It's completely different.
It's completely different. Yeah. And a lot of it for me is like boredom. Like I was good. I was good on my flight home. I was good on my flight to Chicago. My flight back through Chicago. I had a connection through Phoenix. I was good on my flight yesterday. I have a flight tomorrow morning. I'll be fine on. I'm flying to New Orleans, and then I start drinking again November 1st.
And you're going to do it immediately.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like a diet. You're going to order a pizza.
Yeah,
so you're going to. What's the first thing you're going to pour in?
Well, that's interesting. Ari and I put out a video for all sponsors. And we're okay. Like, yo, if you want us to drink your drink first, we'll live stream it. We'll put it on Instagram. We'll talk about it on our podcast. But hit us up with 10 grand each. But I'm ready to start drinking. I want to not drink on planes anymore. I would love to not drink
really?
On planes anymore. Yeah, because that's.
I like that, too.
That's
though.
What kills me. Like, because I fly too much. You don't fly as much
as
I fly.
True.
I've already flown 275,000 miles already this year.
Oh, man.
So, like.
That's
a lot. So, you're drinking. You're flying once a week at least.
Flying twice?
Yeah. That's not there's a whole mile.
So, that's what I'm saying. Like, one round trip a week at least.
I was flying in Australia. I was flying every day for 2 weeks and then performing that night. And so, it just builds up where you just go, drinking isn't fun. I was sitting in an Australia airport. This is exhausting. As I would have to make sure that I had bought like 50 little bottles of Jack Daniels so that I didn't have to worry every night about them. So I'd pack four.
Wow.
I'd go in. They don't start serving booze in Australia until noon at the bars. I'd go into the Admiral's Club or whatever their club was,
right.
Their Qantas Lounge. Oh, it was. I'd
imagine
get, I'd
that
get it.
Now with a family. Because the process that you have to do
yeah.
to pack up. Now
oh,
imagine
yeah.
if you're traveling with.
Oh.
Two kids, your
yeah, no
wife.
Comedian's going to bring the family along.
Oh,
no, but
no.
I'm saying that he wasn't a comedian in
yeah.
your experience. Of that same, there's a guy that has the same deal. He's got this process
oh,
to go through.
I don't fly with my family.
Yeah, why would you ever
so
travel
when,
with
when
your
we,
family?
When we fly, yeah. I fly my family on whatever they want to fly on, the cheapest one, whatever they want, and then I fly American first class.
That's exactly
and I go,
it.
I go, hey, I'm sorry, I don't want to be – and my wife's like, no one wants to be around
we
you
We don't
want to
be
this.
Around you.
Yeah. Because it's also it's like me just being scared and like
yeah.
and being short and being like and just having panic attacks. And so every morning in Australia, I'd go into the Qantas Lounge. I had a tour manager with me. I'd wait until about 30 minutes before our flight, and I'd pour a roadie in one of their traveling coffee mugs, and I would just walk to the gate with it. I'd kill it before I got on the plane, and then I'd get a drink on the plane. It was every day.
And so you want out of that.
I want out of that. Right. By the way, I'm not going to quit drinking. I love drinking.
You will not
quit drinking. But I don't like when drinking is in charge of me, and that is on planes.
Okay.
No questions asked. And I can't do Xanax because if I had taken a Xanax yesterday and flown, I'd be still out of it. I'd be like,
they're miserable.
So how many flights have you done this month?
Four.
Okay.
Four.
And you feel like this is a little breakthrough that maybe I'll be able to do more flights?
I'm doing a couple things. I'm taking transcendental meditation. I'm taking flying lessons.
So you're going to try to pilot a plane?
I'm going to try.
If I ever get on a plane and you're like, hey, the machine!
You're in the thing. Shirts off, everybody!
Pilot's not wearing a shirt and Oktoberfest hat.
I would like to get 100% cool flying. Like, there's little, this is so crazy, but like, I've never had a coffee on a plane. Like, I never had a coffee.
Right.
And like, yesterday I got like a treat coffee, like a double pump, whatever. And I was like,
carry on.
I'm looking at other people going, I'm doing this. Like, I'm looking at people going, I had a book out. I was like, I'm reading a book and drinking coffee like you guys. I'm not David Copperfielding vodkas into a
I'm people
sippy
again.
Cup. Like, it was so crazy that I was like,
you became human again.
Yeah. Like, I'm talking to people.
Doing
like, the flight attendant's like, can I get you anything? I said, no, thank you. I will take nothing. And I was like, I'm speaking to her. Like, I'm not like going,
just pointing at a cup.
Because, like, when you're drinking like, I remember one time I was on a plane from LA to New York, and so I'm blitzed. We are not even taken off yet. And someone sneezed. And so I look at the person next to me, I go, God bless you. But it wasn't him who sneezed. And so it just looks like I'm a religious lunatic. Yeah. And he's like, God bless you. And I was like, no, I mean, and then I heard the sneeze again, and I go, it must be that guy. I go, God bless you. And then, like, we got a lunatic on our hands because I'm just blessing everybody. And then it turns out no one's sneezing. I'm just hearing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would love to get done with drinking and flying.
There was a ghost sneezing going on.
Sketching on planes.
Sketching. I have tried everything.
Coloring.
I tried leather work. I've tried.
On a plane?
I have tried.
How do you get leather work materials on a plane?
Okay, here's what you do. You take your leathering material. You then hammer all your holes in it, okay?
Right.
Then
pre-hammer. Before.
Yes. Yeah. Here's where it gets sketchy. Are you ready, gentlemen? Is you get a needle and a thread, which was totally passable. It was a leather needle and a thread.
Right.
But you need to wear leather gloves when you do it. And so here I am putting on – I didn't even think this through. I'm putting on leather gloves on a plane. I'm drunk. And I'm starting to – and everyone's like, oh, my God. I've done everything there is to do on a plane, including crying. I've done sober flights, like where I go, here we go, I'm going to do it. And then I break down and I start sobbing uncontrollably because I'm having a panic attack.
Oh, man.
And then that's when you don't want to order a drink.
No.
How do you stay on the flight?
Hoodie over me, sunglasses on.
And just
I go into the bathroom. I go into the bathroom. And I've had moments. And there are people listening right now that think I'm crazy. And there are people listening going, I know exactly how you feel. I've been in the bathroom looking at myself going, bro, you're 40 years old.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, how can you not? You fly every day. Get over this.
Right.
But it just
gets worse and worse.
Gets worse.
Did it start in the beginning or was there an incident on
the
plane?
The very first plane I was ever on, I didn't know what was going on. It was a Pan Am flight. I was with my mom. Yeah. We were flying to Philadelphia. And I said, so tell me how this is going to work. I must have been like 7.
Right.
I mean, I was a baby. I was a kid.
Right.
And she goes, it's fine. We're going to get up in the air, and we're going to get to Philadelphia. I was like, okay, cool. So we started taking off. And I go, this isn't that bad. And we start taking off. I go, all right, this is high enough right here. And
right.
My mom goes, it's going to go higher. I go, how much? She goes, a lot. And I went, hold on. Whoa. This is too high. Tell him to bring it down. And my mom's like, honey, we're not even close yet. And I was like, oh, my God. And I started melting down.
On the plane.
And when we got above the clouds, I was like, we're above the clouds? Full-blown panic attack as a child the whole flight.
Strapped down.
And then I started panic attacks for me. I started getting panic attacks.
So your mom did a terrible job like calming you or prepping you for the
parents
flight.
Were horrible parents.
She wasn't like, honey, just drink.
Yeah. No.
At 7.
Yeah. She should have gotten you some alcohol.
At 17 years old, by the way, I fly maybe 5 times my whole life.
Right.
17 years old, we all fly to the Virgin Islands for my dad got this client who couldn't pay, but he could have a boat, and we could all take the boat. It's a long story.
Got a smoking deal.
Right.
He was paying with vacations.
I'm getting ready to go to Florida State. My dad's like, family vacation. We fly to the Virgin Islands. First flight I've been on in a long time. On the flight there, I start crying uncontrollably. And my dad and my sisters start making fun of me, which makes it worse.
Right.
Yes. My mom starts yelling at my dad. It's a nightmare on the plane. I mean, it is bad. We land in the Virgin Islands, and I'm like, I am not flying home. And my dad's like, oh, you're definitely flying home. Like, you're an idiot. You're a moron. You're definitely flying home. What do you think we're going to – how are we getting you home? How are we getting – this is my dad. That's how my dad parents.
Right.
So 17 years old. The day I'm dreading it the whole day leading up to the flight home. We're at the hotel, and I am freaking out. And I'm sitting waiting. And my dad goes, "You ready?" And I was like, "Dad, I'm being serious. I can't do this." And he goes, "Buddy, come on, come here." Takes me over to the bar, and he goes, "Two rum runners." I'm 17 years old, and he goes, "Kill that." And so I drink it, and he goes, "Kill this one." So I drink it, and he goes, "You feeling better about flying?" I go, "I am." He goes, "Let's go." He goes, "When we get to the airport, I'll get you another drink, and you'll be fine." And then so I get on the thing, and I get on the – I'm 17 years old, by the way. My dad's never greenlit me drinking.
Really?
And so I have three rum runners. Maybe I had probably two more. I had two more at the thing. And I'm, by the way, I'm 17.
You're gone.
So I'm gone.
Yeah. And greatest dad in the world.
I fly home, and I go, "We got it." This is how we handle it. And I have drank on every flight since.
Nice.
Yeah, and so – and it's my dad's fault, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, but, completely.
But I'll say that
you never figure you're going to fly this much.
But it's weird because
you're 17. Thought, like, yeah,
who thought,
like,
I'd fly for a living?
Right? Yeah.
For a living. Like if that's the – by the way, if you're one of those people that needs to drink when you fly – it's totally doable. Yeah, get that out of here.
Yeah, we've got the beer removed.
If you need to fly before drink before you fly, that's totally doable. But when you fly three times a week like I do, or four times a week, or at least twice a week,
right,
it just gets unmanageable.
Yeah.
And especially flying to Australia, London,
no, screw that,
Asia. Like, I was in Singapore, Tokyo, Australia, toured Australia for 2 weeks. It got out of control.
A lot. It's a big country. Forget how far apart everything is. You can fly to everything. It's a great
place. And Rogan and Ari and Tom are like, "Just eat edibles." I'm like, "No, you do not know how panic works." Like, that is the last thing I want is to go, "Oh, not only am I freaked out, but it's real." It's real. So,
what if you got on the flight and they get on? You're on a dry flight.
Oh, that would never happen.
Okay, we've been there.
It's called dry flights?
Yeah, Muslim countries in Africa. I've flown out of Zanzibar. I flew out of Tanzania into Zanzibar. And they're like, I'm on top of it. They go, "We have, they serve them booze on this flight?" And they're like, "No, it's a Muslim airlines. They don't, whatever." It was and it was a sketchy plane. You want to know how sketchy it was?
It's Muslim airlines.
And then they loaded our bags, and they put our bags in front of us in the plane. There's no butt luggage. In the plane, they put all our bags in front of us and then threw a net up, and it was a prop plane. And I was like, "Oh my God!" So, I said to the guy, I said, "Do they serve booze on this flight?" And he's like, "Oh no!" And I said, "What do I do about that?" And he goes, "You can bring some on." I bought tall boys. I literally three in each hand and walked on with three tall boys and just started murdering booze and then listening to Pennywise's Bro Him. I have had many a flight all through New Zealand. I was in a helicopter one time and I was like, "Hey, what's the deal with drinking in this thing?" He's like, can't happen. And I was like, "Sure." So I just load up a water bottle with whiskey up to the top, lots of ice. I'm in New Zealand. We're going into a glacier. I go, "Not a problem." I start drinking it, and I forget. I'm in a ball. I'm in a tiny. I'm in a ball with a man, and all of a sudden you hear on the headsets, "You realize I can smell the whiskey."
Too late.
I was like, "Yeah, what are you going to do? Kick me out?"
Right.
I got lit, and then got to the glacier, and had my crew bring me a straight up brand new bottle of Jack, and I started hammering off ice from the glacier. Probably not PC.
No.
And put it in my thing. I was like, "Here we go.
It's going to fall off anyway."
Oh,
what's the protocol like? How does an American feel in a Muslim airport? It's gonna be like
a herpes on a porn set.
Right.
I am horrible in Muslim countries. When we were in Zanzibar, we stayed at a Muslim hotel.
Oh.
And I went to their sports bar.
In a sports bar?
And I go, "I'll take a double vodka soda." And they're like, "Oh, we don't serve alcohol." I go, "Then it's not a sports bar. It's just a place with TVs." And so I went up to the lady. I was like, "Hey, I'm here for a week. We're going to have a problem if we can't get alcohol." And by the way, testament to any Muslim person out there. Yeah. She's like, "Listen, I understand it's our thing. It's not yours." She's like, "I can get you booze, but you can't tell anybody."
Right.
I was like, "Done."
Yeah.
I went back to my room and it was almost as if she didn't know what was an acceptable amount of booze. So she brought everything they had. I was like, "Who wants to have some cooking sherry?" I lit up.
Try it.
And so then everyone.
Can you stagger around drunk though?
Yeah.
Oh, I know you can, but I mean, is
Zanzibar was weird. Like, there were places you couldn't drink, but they'd let you drink anywhere.
Yeah.
But it was really, man, that was a, Zanzibar was cool. We got hammered walking around downtown Zanzibar by the beach.
And you're the only ones drunk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, everyone else is Muslim.
Other than an occasional American that you bump into.
Occasional, and then you make eye contact like, yo, you got coke? Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. By the way, that's one of the things that my heart's so healthy right now. I have been toying with the idea of doing coke one time with Ari on this cruise we're going on.
Oh, my God.
Just because I've never been this healthy. Like, my health, my blood prep, my resting heart rate. My resting heart rate is 47.
That's fantastic.
It's amazing. I went to my cardiologist, and he goes, bro, you might be a superhuman. My blood pressure is 120 over 65.
You know the last person that bragged to me about their heart?
Who?
Ralphie.
Shut up!
I'm not kidding. At my house. Yeah. At my house, he started to tell me how his heart...
Yeah, the cardiologist told me I got the healthiest.
Well, I guess I'm not doing coke. Way to jinx that one. Do a line of coke and be like, here you go, Ralphie!
All he did was talk about his heart being so great. Yeah. The doctors had no idea why.
I was on a cruise with him. Yeah. I mean, if we're going to talk about lying to each other... by the way, rest in peace. I love Ralph. He was like a brother to me.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
We were on a cruise and we were partying. The way you'd wake up Ralphie is by lighting a joint.
Yeah.
So we all go into his room. It's pitch black. He's sleeping. He's been sleeping for 2 days. We go into his room and we light a joint and we're all. And then Ralphie pops up. Oh, player. I didn't know it was that kind of party. And then he comes over and I was like, hey, man, you got to get out. We should go take a walk or something. He's like, oh, playboy. My heart's in perfect shape. I was like, me too. By the way, my blood pressure is 175 over 120. At the time, I am bloated beyond recognition. I'm not even joking. I hope this doesn't sound racist. It definitely will. But in all my pictures, I look like I must be mixed with Asian because I'm so fat. I'm so fat. I'm not even joking. I'm so fat. It looks like
so
I have
stress.
Like part Eskimo or something. I'm not even joking. I'm
You've been
bloated.
Windswept. So your eyes had to squint.
It's the salt.
And I was so bloated in our family photos. I look like a fat Eskimo, like the Rock's cousin that needs.
He's not an Eskimo.
Rock's Hawaiian or something. Yeah.
They're not even close.
Whatever. I don't know why I said the Rock. I'm sorry. But anyway, Ralphie and I had a lot of times where we lied to each other.
About your health?
About everything. You want to hear a good Ralphie story?
Yes.
So we go on a radio trip to Atlantis. It's me and Ralphie. I'm going to feature Ralphie's headlining. First night there, it was three nights. First night there, Ralphie's like, playboy, we got to get the family together, have dinner. So I was like, all right. So we go to this Asian restaurant, and Ralphie never let anyone order. He always knew what to order. He's like, I was here 5 years ago. They got a great Kim Jong Ting.
Yeah.
And so he orders, as a racist, probably David Cross. So he orders everything, and we don't even order. And then the check comes, and he's like, no, you can't pay while I'm here.
Yeah.
And he pays for everything. I was like, great, my wife's there. She's like, wow, that's really generous. Next night, we go to lunch that afternoon, he pays. We go to dinner that night, he pays again. We go to dinner again the next night, and he pays again. Our final night there, my wife's like, yo, you got to pick up the tab.
Right.
Like, don't let Ralphie pay. So we go to Nobu in Atlantis. Ralphie is ordering off the menu like he's Aquaman. Like, he is literally like yo, you got dolphin? Like,
it goes deep.
Yeah, it goes deep. I am blown away by his knowledge. Of,
yeah.
And he's ordering my drinks. Like, he's ordering my draw. He needs that sake bomb that the guy, you remember the guy came here last time when we were here? So I go to the lady. I go, hey, the big guy doesn't pay. Here's my credit card. Charge it. She's like, all right. So then the bill comes, and Ralphie sees it, and he's like, I got it. And I was like, no, Ralphie, I already paid for it. And he goes, oh, Bert Kreischer, if I were you, I wouldn't do that. And I was like, Ralphie, I got it. And he goes, no, playboy, you let me take that bill. Don't even look at it. Give me that bill. Let me pay for it. And I was like, Ralphie, I got it. I open it up.
Oh, no.
And it is so much that when my wife looks at me and says, how much is it? I'll edit it for this, but I don't edit it in the moment. I go F yourself.
To your wife?
Right in front of everyone. That's how much it is. Go F yourself. And she was like, you don't speak to me like that. I go, I'll speak to you any way I want to.
We're broke.
Yeah. And
we're starting over.
And Ralphie starts laughing hysterically. Oh, don't do it, Bert Kreischer. Pass the bill my way. It was $1,200.
You should have given it to him then. Now his ex-wife won't get any of the money. You should have spent it all at the restaurant. Lana wouldn't have got a penny.
I wasn't planning on paying as much as I was tipping. I was tipping $400. I wasn't even planning on the bill being that much.
Yeah.
But the best is I start going, Ralphie ate $1,200 of sushi. And he's like, oh, we can sit and lie to each other all day, but you had $1,200 worth of booze. I may be fat, but you're an alcoholic, Bert Kreischer.
He could order.
Oh, my God, he could order. And, man, the best is like, you know, it's like when you get around guys with tendencies, you put stuff in front of them if you got the tendencies and you watch them light up. And he'd be like, we go out to eat, and he'd be like, who wants to do some shots? And he'd look at me like, yeah, you into that? And I'd be like, yeah. I was like, who wants appetizers? And he'd be like, right here, playboy.
The first time you hear about him, you know, cooking, he talks about this food, so you have no idea.
Right.
So this was years ago when we first met Ralphie, about 2 years into it. I have a Super Bowl party, and he goes, hey, Platt, I want to make the mac and cheese. I'll make my Ralphie's mac and cheese. And had no idea. And then, you know, we did – had a smoker, had a grill and everything. And that mac and cheese had six different cheeses, two sticks of butter.
It was ridiculous. It was the fattiest stuff ever. I was in Vegas with him once, and we ate so much for lunch. I stood in the shower. I drank like you. I ate like him. It was not a good weekend for me. And I stood in the shower getting ready for dinner, as full as I've ever been, and just opened my mouth. And I'm not kidding. Like, my body didn't throw up. It just purged what it didn't need anymore. And, like, full shredded chicken is falling out without, like, there's no stomach bile. There's nothing. It's just, I opened. There was no, like,
bleh. I never had that problem.
Chicken fell out of my mouth, and I just looked at it on the shower floor, and I'm like, that was just my body pushing back. And then we go, and he goes, how you doing, boy? I said, I'm not good. I said, we ate, and I am drunk, and I feel horrible.
Did you purge?
I'm like, how did you know you can read it on? It's like he recognized there was wasted food somewhere in the hotel sitting on a shower floor.
Did you purge? Hey, you got room, player. We can do this. Ah, son of a bitch, you're going to eat tonight.
Oh, we ate more and more and more. It was crazy. And then he'd tell me how healthy his heart was, like you just did, and now he's gone.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm not doing coke now. Yeah. I was going to do Molly. Like, I was so excited.
Molly excites
me. Ari.
I don't do drugs.
I haven't done drugs in forever. Only because I party, so I was like, I can't incorporate that in my life.
Right.
But I've been sober for a month. I was like, I should, like, do something responsible. Like, take it. Just take half, you know?
Right. Wait till you're old.
Yeah.
Like George Bush is grabbing everybody's ass.
I would hate to die from a drug overdose. I won't. I'm not going to do drugs. If anyone's wondering.
Youthful. Yeah. But like, when you're old and you die from a drug overdose, it's like, he was just testing. What do I have
to do? It's like Carrie Fisher when you're like, what does she have, Molly in her system?
Everything. Yeah, Molly or ecstasy or whatever it
was.
Yeah,
you're like, that's the way to go out, Carrie Fisher.
But she never stopped.
That was a night.
Like, she was lucky to get to 70.
That might have been permanently in her system, though, from the years.
How great is that?
I've never done it.
You've never done it?
No, I've never done it.
You should try it.
I got a control problem, too.
No, you should try it on air.
The fear.
I would do it.
Do you remember when in Anchorman 2, I was watching this with my daughter, and she didn't get comedy yet, and he was like, so there's a new thing called crack. We're going to try it on air. And they all smoke crack on air. And he's like, this is actually quite enjoyable. And Georgia, my oldest, is like, I don't get it. And I go, Georgia, they're smoking drugs on air. Like, they're smoking cocaine. And she's like, crack is cocaine? And I was like, yeah, they're – and she's like, why would you do that? And I was like, this is a comedy.
That's the joke.
You should take it on air. You realize how high your ratings will be?
Oh, it'd be great, but I can't do it because I'm afraid that whomever I got it from has laced it with something awful.
Oh, that's why you reach out to your listeners.
Right. I don't want – no way. Are you kidding?
Get one of those ecstasy testing kits.
Get the pure stuff.
There's a testing kit?
Oh, yeah. It's called Dance Safe. You go in and – I've Googled this.
And no.
Yeah.
It's magnificent because I went through Vegas asking old people if they've got Molly. I'll trust old people. I mean, got any Molly? I've never done it. Got any Molly? And they look at me
just Viagra and never mind. Amphetamines.
Right. But whatever they had, I figured they're like 80. They're not going to do any of the dangerous stuff.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind like doctor prescribed. Like I got heroin one time.
But
hold on one second. Let me rephrase that. I speak in hyperbole.
Yeah.
I had pharmaceutical heroin, Dilaudid, because I fell off a waterfall. The lady was like, hey, we need to take x-rays of your back. We need to give you Dilaudid. And she goes, you know, that's heroin technically.
Right.
And I was like, listen, I have a pretty addictive personality. Like, I party hard. I don't want anything in my system that I don't want
to. That you could be hooked.
Yeah. And she goes, you're not going to get hooked. You can't get it again. But you trust me, you're going to want this.
Right.
So I got my phone out and I said, well, if I'm going to try heroin for the first time, I'm going to write some poetry or something. Write a song.
Jim Morrison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she hits it in, and I didn't do anything. I just drooled and was like, oh, this is awesome. This is it. And I was like, this is the cat's pajamas. That's all that came out of my mouth. And everyone's like, what? This is the cat's pajamas.
So heroin didn't work on your poetry.
No, it
your
didn't work at all.
Prose was horrible.
Yeah, so I wonder how accurate that is.
It's accurate.
The people that
check
that
your music.
I don't know if they're writing the songs.
Brady,
during.
Check your music.
Yeah,
I know.
It's all on heroin. All the good ones are heroin. Look at the Beatles before the heroin. I want to hold your hand.
I did coke one time on stage.
On stage?
No, before a show. This was probably...
That can't be legal. Is that legal?
I was 26 years old. I just started comedy. I was with my buddies.
Yeah.
And they had a bullet. It was like where you'd put the cocaine in the bullet. You'd spin the top. The top was like a revolving, like a Lazy Susan almost.
Oh, okay.
And what you'd do is it had two sides. You'd load it And then you'd spin it and have a loaded cartridge of Coke for you, like a little like compartment. And
a little
then you
bump.
Could, yeah, a little bump, and then you could snort it. So my buddies are sitting on the couch. We're in the Village, and they're getting ready to go out. I'm going to do a set. I'm not going out with them. I don't. And by the way, I'd definitely done Coke. But I'm not a Coke guy. I was never a Coke guy. Right. I maybe done it like four times.
Okay.
And this is one of the times. And they're like, but I'd seen this in movies, and they were like trying to load it and trying to do it.
Right.
And I was like, guys, you're idiots. I go, give it to me. I go, this is how you do it. I go, take it, spin it. Now, tap it, like really load it, like you're like putting right. a dip in. Like right. really load it. Then turn it, but you got to hit it. And I went, and I hit it, and I went, oh my God, I just did Coke. Like I didn't realize. And they were like, whoa. And I was like, what do I do? And then my buddy's like, do the other nose. I was like, good call. Like, you don't want to be that. Lopsided for the night. So, and then I went on stage on Coke, and I was destructive.
Yeah.
I don't know how I knew it, but do you remember Aaliyah's song, Baby Boy? But a man in the big B.A. I've been watching you like a hawk in the sky as I earn you in my plane. Dun, 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 dun. I sang that whole song on stage. I knew every lyric, and I had only heard it like three times. But I sang, and I did the dance.
Nailed
and said,
it.
Oh, yeah. God. That's such a good song.
Don't do it now.
No. But yeah, that was the only time I ever did coke on stage.
Oh my God.
I've done not speed, but like amphetamines, like diet pills.
Yeah.
But like they're straight up amphetamines.
The dancing trims.
Right. No. The
real ones. The
stuff they put in those.
Amphetamines.
Yeah.
My dad was addicted to speed for a while. He didn't know it. He had a weight loss doctor who was like, you need to get down to 210. I got these pills that'll really help you lose weight. My dad's like, my dad's a lawyer. He's like a grown up. This is how adult like older people get addicted to drugs. He was like, sure. So he pops one and he's like, you know, buddy, he's like, these pills are amazing. My focus is like through the roof. I barely eat anything. I get to work. I sit at my desk. It's literally 4 o'clock. And I'm like, I haven't even gone to the bathroom. And I was like, really? So one day I come in from New York and it's, I get on the early flight and it's Easter morning and I obviously drink in the whole flight. I'm tired. I haven't slept. It was an all nighter. And I say to my dad, I'm like, we have to go to my buddy Chris Gillen's party and it's all our kids are there. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make this. My dad's like, buddy, take one of my pills. Pick it right up. So I pop it. 45 minutes later, I'm like, Dad, you're eating speed. And he's like, no, it's not. The doctor gave it to me. I go, Dad, this is amphetamine. And I look at the thing, and it says there's two fenfens.
Right.
Fenfen was a mood stabilizer type thing, and then it was an amphetamine.
Yeah.
The other fen was an amphetamine. I go, Dad, you're taking one of the amphetamine part.
Right.
And he's like, no, it's not. Why would they give me amphetamines? I go, appetite suppressant,
right?
Energy, and he was like, "I am having a hard time sleeping, and I find myself folding my clothes a lot." I was like, "Dad, you're on speed." He's like, "What do I do?" I go, "Let's split the rest of those pills, and then you get off of them." And then I took the rest. I wrote a script. It was a really amazing pill. I dropped some weight. I felt good,
but man.
I took one on stage, and I was
buzzing.
I walked out like Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I had an American flag with me, and I was just like, "Guys, I hope you're ready to hear some big thoughts about Asians in the Olympics."
There you go. It's Burt Kreischer. An hour flies by.
That was an hour?
About an hour.
By the way, how much different am I sober and drunk on?
None.
None.
Totally. Completely unenjoyable.
Yeah.
I need you
I'm
drunk.
A little more honest when I'm sober. Like, I would never tell you about coke drunk.
Cocaine sober.
Because like, it looks sad.
Yeah, it's
but when
pathetic.
I'm sober, I got my life together.
It seems like you've straightened it out
if
you're sober. Yeah. Drunk,
the
I tell you about.
The finger would go up on the cocaine.
I've done it. That's beautiful.
A friend of mine took cocaine.
Oh, you're going to do show at 1 today?
Yeah, 1 p.m.
1
call in sick to work. I should have talked about this in the beginning.
Yeah,
I'm already at work, dude.
Yeah. Call in sick to work today with Burt Kreischer over at Stand Up Live. He's got all the podcasts. Everybody's here.
Everyone's day drinking. The comics are coming over. They're going to day drink. I got Stanhope as my designated drinker.
How about that?
Benson's my designated smoker. And then we're doing an after party after that. All the comics will be there. By the way, and I say this, if you can't make it to my show, Jen Kirkman's tonight. Who else is tonight? Crab Feast is tonight. Bill Burr's on Saturday.
It's loads of them.
If you're a comedy fan, if you go and just hang out over there, you'll see everyone.
Yeah.
It was last night.
I was going to say, go to the website, standuplive.com. The list is on there, and it'll blow you away.
It's really fun. Last night, it was me, Stanhope, Ari, Felipe. Everyone's just sitting around having. They were smoking cigarettes.
Wow.
I was smoking a cigar. Ari just had his arms folded talking about whatever.
Ari talks about.
Yeah, whatever plight of the Jewish welcher he is.
He didn't pay his bets.
You know, some
you've
guys,
made that clear.
Some guys make a bet and then fly to Asia for 4 months.
and
loved it.
And have no phone or contact.
Yeah, go, hey guys, we all do this every now and then, but
you went on a jubatical.
Yeah, I will never speak to any of you again. All right. By the way, I would be shocked if I spoke to him again after this challenge. He's hating this challenge.
Yeah, the drunken one?
The sobriety.
Yeah.
And there have been a few times where we've texted each other independently, like, maybe we should let Ari smoke weed.
Really?
Oh, he's been
melting. Oh, he can't smoke it. That's part of his thing is no weed.
Ari's like, listen, if we say no booze to you, that's your thing. We should suffer.
Right.
Like, we should all go in this together, like a brotherhood. He's right. Like, no weed. And then Rogan lost his mind.
Rogan's not doing that.
I didn't agree to that. And like, and we were like, whoa. He's like, honey, how am I supposed to enjoy my food, my wife, my family, my music, my stand-up? And we're like, whoa, you actually might have a problem, bro. And then I think he heard himself say that, and he was like, okay, all right, I'm not going to do it either. So Rogan quit weed.
Oh, my God.
Which has been an interesting adventure. Yeah.
But I got to believe Ari. I mean, the times I've seen, that's like if you had a lawn and it was weed, he'd kill it. A goat.
Dude, the very last day we were all drinking, I just didn't drink. So I was like, I get on a plane the next day. I want to feel good. Ari was like, I'm doing Molly. I'm doing mushrooms. I'm doing edibles. I'm drinking whiskey. I'm smoking a cigar. And he's like, I'm getting it all out of my system. And then he texted me Sunday morning. He was like, I just want to do it all again. That first week was rough on him. He's like, consider you guys not my friends. No friend would ask this of me. I'm a stand-up comedian. I make great money. I've chosen this lifestyle. You have a problem, Bert. You need to quit. No one likes you. That's what we meant to say is no one likes you. Joe, you're dead to me. Tom, you're dead to me. Bert, you're dead to me. I'll speak to you guys at the end of the month.
And he disappears.
And then slowly starts coming back, and he's like, I'm feeling a little better. I don't like this hot yoga, though. And so today we're going to hot yoga later this afternoon. And then we're going to be together in New Orleans for our first drink. And he is.
That's going to get crazy.
That's
a bad city to start.
I miss marijuana. Marijuana is going to be my favorite one to go back to.
Well, there you go. You got something to look forward to.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. You got a week to sit and
three
think.
3 days.
And it's getting better and better.
I spent a month with my family. We're good.
That's good.
Yeah, we're good.
That's
we're
more than almost everybody.
Yeah.
And you did it joyfully.
Wait,
and
you want me to see you every day?
Yeah, that's too much.
And you didn't snap.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
All right. Find out about that on the podcast. Damn it, Bert. You could stay all day. It's 9:03. Bert Kreischer today. Stand Up Live, 1 o'clock. You'll be hanging around all weekend, right?
I'm here all weekend.
Oh, beautiful stuff. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you guys for having me in sober. I really appreciate it. Hey, next time.
Blast you.
Girls with purple hair, hammered.
It's happening. You want to come back for the MILF?
When is it?
It's a weekend before Mother's Day. It's Friday before Mother's Day.
Let's do a MILF call and sick to work show.
Done.
All right, great. All right.
We'll
love you guys.
We'll do the whole thing at Stand Up Live. We can do it all down there. All right, beautiful. Bert Kreischer, everybody. Go down there and see him this afternoon. Works for suckers.
You guys partake?
I'll partake. Hit me. 98.